All right, as we jump into our sermon, if you would say the Apostles' Creed with me, this is just the core convictions. As we jump into the Word, we want to know what are the things that matter most importantly, Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you got your Bibles, open up to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah is in the Old Testament. It's going to be towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 7. And as you're turning there, if this you've never heard this creed before, we did a sermon series on this, and you can just ask and we'll get you the information, just kind of the core beliefs of what Christians believe. Zechariah chapter 7, we're going to be in verses 9 through 13. And as you're turning there, I want to ask a question. Have you ever prayed and thought, God's not listening? Right? Have you ever knelt down to pray and thought, maybe it's like it's hitting the ceiling and bouncing back, but it's not really going anywhere? You know, is he really up there? And have you ever poured out your heart to God and thought, maybe he's not listening? And I think sometimes when we pray, you know, when we pray and we feel like God's not listening, we feel like God's not answering, there's times where I think maybe he's trying to teach us patience and God's trying to teach us to trust him. Right? You know, we want the immediate answer. And I think there's times when we pray and we feel like there's a disconnect between us and God. We feel like he's not listening. And in those times, he's trying to teach us to be patient and he's trying to teach us to trust him in those times. I completely believe that. But what if there's also other times when you're praying and it's not about teaching you patience or trust, but God won't listen to you? What if there are other times when God will not answer your prayers? What are there times when he will not hear you? Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to throw this on the screen. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. This is God speaking to the Israelite people, his people. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and they covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint. That's like a rock. And they would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. I want you to just say that last sentence with me. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. I have titled today's sermon, Four Prayers God Will Not Answer. Four prayers that God won't answer. And anytime that you plan to make a bold statement about God, you better have some scriptures to back it up, right? Anytime you want to make a bold statement, me saying that God will not answer this type of prayer is a bold statement. And anytime you do that, you want to make sure you have the Bible to back that up. And so we're going to go through quite a few scriptures because I want to make sure you understand that I'm not just saying this, you know, Calvin's preference, but it's in the Bible. It's biblically based in what I'm saying. And my goal today, as we do this, four prayers God will not answer. My goal today is, number one, that when it comes to prayer, that we would realize God is not a genie in a bottle. Who has ever seen Aladdin? Right? Rub the little bottle, genie comes out, you ask your wish, he gives you whatever you want. My hope today is we would realize that that is not what prayer is, and that is not how God works. Number one, God is not a genie in a bottle. And number two is that through learning these things, these four things, four types of prayer that God will not answer, that our prayer lives would become much more honest and sincere. It wouldn't be surface level. We would get deeper and we'd be much more honest in that. During the hurricane, when it came, I want to ask, how many of you lost signal, like TV signal, satellite signal You know, maybe you were trying to watch a show. How many of you lost, if you have that, lost it, right? A lot of people, pretty much everyone. If you didn't lose it, man, you've got some great service. Stay with them. Everyone lost their TV and connection. Especially, you know, everyone was trying to watch the big boxing fight, right? And here we couldn't because you couldn't see anything. And it was rough. So everyone lost it. And what happens during the storm, you know, your house, you have an antenna or a satellite dish on your home or whatever, you know. And then out there somewhere in the sky, there's another dish, signal, satellite, antenna, or floating from a tower. And in your home, you have some sort of receiver. And out there, there's some sort of receiver. And these sound waves or radio waves or whatever type of waves, they flow and they connect with one another, right? And so that's how you get your signal. You've got a point over here in your home, and you've got a point over here. And when they connect, you get your signal. But when a massive hurricane named Harvey comes into town and he steps in between you and your signal gets blocked, right? When a massive storm comes in, you can't get connection. You can't watch your TV or listen to that show or hear that radio station whenever something steps in between and blocks the connection point. And what we're going to do today is see that it's the exact same with prayer, that we are here, God is there, and when we try to pray with God, there are four things we're going to cover today that will step in between our communication with God and prevent that communication with God. Four things that we allow to step in between us and God that He will not listen to our prayers. That verse in Zechariah, He says, they would not listen, I will not listen to their prayers. There's the idea of a storm blocking our connection, same thing with prayer. So four communication blocks in prayer, four prayers that God will not answer. Number one is prayers from an unrepentant heart. Prayers from an unrepentant, sinful heart. Like I said, I'm going to back every point up with several verses. So let's go through some verses on this. John chapter 9, verse 31 first. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does His will. In this context, this was a blind man that Jesus healed, a blind man Jesus healed. And the religious people are saying, Jesus is a sinner. Jesus is evil. And the blind man is saying, how can you say He's a sinner when He healed me? Because God does not listen to sinners. God would not have honored Jesus and allowed Him to do these miracles like this if He was this evil, sinful person. That's what the blind man is saying. John 9. Isaiah 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor His ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities, that's sin, your iniquities, your sin has separated you from God, separated this connection from you from God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. He will not hear. It is very straightforward command, blunt statement that He will not hear. Not if you try harder, He'll hear, and if you do this. No, He will not hear. And I love the first part of the voice. He won't hear. It's not because His arm is too short. It's not because He's not mighty enough. It's not because He can't hear. That's not the reason. But your iniquities are like that storm that moves in and blocks that signal. Your iniquities, your sin have stepped in and they have separated you from God. And until you clear those up, you've got communication block in your prayer life. One more scripture. 1 John chapter 3. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And we receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. I want to go back to this verse. We have confidence before God. When you pray, do you have confidence before God? Because you have kept His commandments and you strive to do what pleases Him, right? Because the reverse of this would be the opposite. we do not have confidence, we do not receive from him anything because we do not keep his commands and we do not do what pleases him. A block in between our relationship with God. When we allow sin to come in, it's like that storm coming in between your satellite and the signal out here. And when you allow sin to come in, it will block that signal and it will choke that relationship that you have with God. And when you are in that moment, when you have this unrepentant heart, the prayer God won't answer from an unrepentant heart, at that moment when you're calling out to God, he's less concerned about what you're calling out to God first, and he wants you to fix your heart. He wants you to fix that unrepented heart first. That's what he's asking. So number one is prayers from an unrepentant heart. If you allow sin to come in your life and persist in your life, and you keep sin in your life, and you don't repent of it, you don't deal with it, you don't give it up to God, if you let that sit there, that will be your first block that God will not answer. A prayer from an unrepentant heart, God will not answer. Number two, the second type of prayer that God will not answer are prayers from an unforgiving heart. Last week we talked about forgiveness, and I said then probably the hardest topic for the Christian life is forgiving. But God will not answer prayers from an unforgiving heart. Let me throw up some verses. Matthew 6, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins." There's a verse in the Bible that a lot of people aren't too proud of, that they're scared of, because is that true, and does that mean? And this is we read the Lord's Prayer earlier. This is the verse right after the Lord's Prayer, because in the Lord's Prayer you say, "Father, forgive them as, forgive me as I forgive them. Forgive me the same way that I am willing to forgive others." That's what you're saying in the Lord's Prayer. By the way, I might have ruined the Lord's Prayer for you. You might be scared now to pray it, but that's what you're saying. Forgive me as I, in the way that I forgive others, forgive me the same. And I can back this up. Like I said, I'm going to have a lot of scriptures. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The way that you measure up people is the way that God is going to measure up you. The way you judge others is the way God's going to judge you. The way you measure others is the way that God's going to judge you. Luke chapter 6 says, 37, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." It will be measured to you. So to kind of pull these verses together and sum it up, I think in one statement, our judgment and forgiveness of others is the measure of our own state of judgment and forgiveness. The way you measure others is the way you'll be measured. The way you forgive others is the way you'll be forgiven. The way you give is the way you'll be given. All these words and phrases used the whole time trying to reiterate this point, that our judgment and forgiveness of others is the measure of our own state of judgment and forgiveness. It's really ironic to be on your knees crying out to God, "Father, forgive me, and I need your grace and your mercy," when the whole time you've got a heart that is bitter towards another person and you won't forgive them. And what God wants you to do first, he's probably saying, "Yeah, that's great. Hold that thought. Go forgive this person. Go, if you want me to act like that towards you, go forgive that person. Go act in that." There's a story in Matthew. He's talking about a man who he's going to the temple to sacrifice. And, you know, in that time, that's the way they worship. They would go to the temple, bring their stuff, and they would sacrifice, and they would praise God. And it's this super, you know, really, really important moment. And he says the man's going to the temple to do that. But on his way, he has a brother, another person that he has tension with. He has an argument with. And they're not, you know, happy with one another. There's a problem. And he says, "Stop going to the temple, put your sacrifice down, and go fix the relationship first. Then come and offer your sacrifice, because your sacrifice doesn't mean anything until you fix that relationship." So I think the second prayer God will not answer is prayer from an unforgiving heart. Number three. So number one, prayers from an unrepentant heart, a sinful heart, a heart that is stuck in sin and refuses to get rid of that. Why would God honor that prayer? Number two, a prayer from an unforgiving heart. And number three, prayers from an unbelieving heart. Prayers from an unbelieving heart. We're taking prayer and we're taking the human heart and we're doing open heart surgery today on the human heart. Prayers from an unbelieving heart. James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, and that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Mark 11, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it and it will be yours. Last verse, Luke 11, big passage. Jesus said to them, this is Jesus giving a parable about prayer. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have any food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, do not bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, I love that phrase, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. This is the context of prayer, and this is where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer in Luke in this chapter, or right before this, and what he is saying, it's all about persistence. The verbs, not to get super technical, but the verbs in Greek at the bottom, ask, seek, and knock, they're ongoing, meaning continue asking, continue seeking, continue knocking, be persistent. And that's what I said in the first point. Sometimes when we pray, I think God is trying to see how deep our faith really is, right? Because we want to pray for that 30-second prayer and make God, let's make it happen, right? We pray it, good, I don't ever have to say anything again, it's over with, right? Maybe God wants us to be a little more dedicated, and maybe God wants to use prayer to actually show maybe how deep your faith really is. Because if you really believe he can do something about it, if you really believe he will do something about it, would it not show in your dedication, in your crying out, in your calling out to him? I think prayer reveals a lot. I think God uses prayer to reveal a lot in our lives. And this is a phrase I would use to sum this up. Our faith in God in prayer is revealed by our faithfulness to God in prayer. Your faith in God when you pray is revealed by your faithfulness to pray to God. Right? Your faithfulness in prayer to God, I think, shows really how much faith you really have in him, that he's the one you need to cry out to, that he's the one who can fix it, that he's the one who will fix it. I think your faithfulness in prayer shows your faith in prayer. And so I'm going to sum this up with, God uses our prayers to test and reveal our faith. I think God can use prayer to test and reveal our heart, our faith, to look into our hearts and to see, you know, where's our faith level at? Do we really trust? Do we really believe? Do we really have faith? Or do we just, you know, offer a 10-second, hey, God, please do this, and that's it, just because it makes us feel better? Or are we really calling out to God? Are we really going to be faithful to call out to him because we believe he is a faithful God? So the third one is prayers from an unbelieving heart, the James passage. Whoever doubts when they pray, it's like a wave. Comes and goes and comes and goes. It's like a leaf falling from a tree and it blows every which way, you know. Whoever doubts when they pray, so you must not doubt. So number one, prayers from an unrepentant heart. Number two, prayers from an unforgiving heart. Number three, prayers from an unbelieving heart. And number four, I think the last type of prayer that God will not answer are prayers from an unloving heart. Prayers from an unloving heart, and let me explain what I mean by that. When I say love, I am not talking about the junior high feeling of ooey-gooey love, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about love that's shown in action. I'm talking about love that is shown in actions. If you were to do a study of the word love in the Bible, you would see it includes emotions, yes. But if you did any study on the word love in the Bible, you would see that every Bible scholar would tell you love in the Bible, in this culture, when they say the word love, it does not just mean how I feel towards a person. No, it is always accompanied with action every single time. That's why almost every passage the Bible has on love, and we love to read those verses. Almost every time the Bible says something about love, the very next verse says, by keeping commands. I mean, every time, the Shema, some of you know the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We say this often at our church. Great passage, right? And we all love it. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength. Very next verse. The very next verse of that passage. These commands I give to you today, impress them upon your children, talk about them when you walk along the road, bind them. He talks about binding them, putting on their houses. The very next connection, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength. These commands, do them, teach them, live in them. It's connected. And so we can't disconnect that. Prayers from an unloving heart. When I talk about love, I mean actions. And here's what I want to put up three verses. Number one, Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and will not be answered. Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and will not be answered. And this is a wisdom saying from the Old Testament, and I think it applies to our prayer. And, you know, it really, a lot of this is really practical if you kind of put it in context. What would it be like for you to kneel down to God and pray, Father, I need this, 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 and I don't know how I'm going to make it this, this, this. And a week before, a day before, or all around us right now, there are people who have desperate needs, and they're crying out that they need help. And you look at them, turn your face from them, you see them on the street, turn your face from them, they're asking for help, you refuse to help them, and then you turn right back around and ask God to help you. Right? How, you see the disconnect? And I think all of these points, it's about a disconnect in our heart when we actually are praying to God. So I think to sum this up, your treatment of those in need can determine how the Heavenly Father meets your need. I'm not saying that's always going to be what God does, but your treatment of those in need can determine how the Heavenly Father meets your needs. It goes back to this other verse. The measure you use will be used against you. The way you give will be given to you. This, all these phrases you use, the way you judge is the way you'll be judged. The way you forgive is the way you'll be forgiven. All these things, your treatment of those in need can determine how the Heavenly Father meets your needs. Now, this next verse I'm going to put up, this whole sermon, just so you know, was based on this next verse. The whole sermon, I wanted to do this whole sermon because of this one verse that most people don't read in the Bible or don't take seriously in the Bible. And that is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I'm a husband, so I can talk to the husbands. Husbands, the way you treat your spouse can or cannot hinder your prayers. And that's something that doesn't get taught very often, right? But he is saying the way you treat your spouse so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In other words, if you're not doing this, there's going to be some sort of hindrance. It's going to cause some sort of roadblock between you and your prayers to God, some sort of a communication block between you and prayers to God in the way that you treat your wife, the way you treat your spouse. Be considerate as you live with them. Treat them with respect because they're heirs, heirs of the gracious gift of life. I mean, they have been saved just like us so that nothing will hinder your prayers. The way you treat, you know, we think of God and we think, you know, I'm just going to cry out to God in prayer, right? But God cares how you act. All of these are the way you act, and God cares how you act. God does not want you to sit, like, you can sit there and cry out all you want, but if your actions are totally separate from that and don't match up with that, I think you're hitting a deaf ear. Going back to Zechariah, they would not listen to me, so I will not listen to them. I have told them, show mercy, be compassionate, help people in need. I've told them all these things. They refuse to listen to me, refuse to do it. And so since they would not listen to me, I will not listen to them. I would not listen to them. That's Zechariah chapter 7, what we read earlier. I'm going to put up another verse, 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Once again, a verse that's not, you know, talked about a whole lot. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, this isn't specifically talking about prayer, but I'm pretty confident, based on the last verse and all the verses you've read, and saying that, you know, they're worse off than an unbeliever and denied the faith, I'm pretty sure this would be okay to say that this is equally a communication block in prayer to God. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives in their own household. Prayers from an unloving heart. Remember, love means actions. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about your actions. The way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your kids, the way you treat your family, the way you take care of people in need can hinder your prayers. Your treatment of your spouse and family can determine whether or not your prayers are hindered. Like I said, once again, that's an uncomfortable thing. When I wrote this sermon, I knew this was going to be an uncomfortable sermon, not a popular one. There will probably be people later on, you know, on Facebook or whatever to say, that's not true. That's why I wanted to give you, we've went through, I think, 15 verses so far. I want to give you a lot of Bible verses so you don't just think this is Calvin. I think it is 100% biblical to say the treatment of your spouse and family can determine whether or not your prayers are hindered. In the Bible, if you know the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, I promise this will make sense. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and the Jewish people wrote the whole Bible except two books in the New Testament. Luke and Acts, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew. Jews wrote the whole Bible, and one thing that's really helpful when you study the Bible is to try to see how what they did and how they understood things, because they're the ones who wrote this. And as you read it, and what I'm saying is, I was really curious about this. Any of you know me? I'm still in school. And most of you probably don't know this, but when you go on in school for Bible stuff, as you go on, you kind of pick one topic over time and you start specializing in that topic. And mine is the Old Testament and Judaism. That's really interesting. I love it. I'm a nerd when it comes to that, all right? But it's just really interesting to me. And I was really interested in prayer. Really, really interested in you know, how did the Jews pray? What did they think about prayer? Because Jesus is born a Jew, and so these are things that Jesus would have done as he was growing up, and that's just really interesting to me. So I thought this was interesting, and I thought this was such a good application for this message. The English word for pray, when we say the word prayer in English, the English word comes from a root word that means to beg or entreat, to ask of. Like when we say prayer in English, the root meaning of the word means to ask of. To beg from, to entreat, to request. That's the root meaning of the word. The Hebrew word for prayer is called, it's pronounced palalal. By the way, Hebrew sounds really weird when you try to speak it. The Hebrew word for prayer, and I think this is where we've gone wrong in prayer, in our understanding. And so the Hebrew word, every time they use prayer in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, the root word for prayer in Hebrew means to judge oneself. And you're probably thinking, like, what? You know, what does that have to do with prayer? The Hebrew word means to judge oneself. And I looked up some really well-known Jewish scholars and what they said about this. And this is a sentence from a Jewish scholar. He says, when we pray, we first inwardly examine ourselves. Before we ever talk about requesting and asking and begging and entreating, the first part of prayer, because all the begging and asking and entreating and all that requesting is nothing if our hearts aren't right in the first place when we request this prayer. And so the first thing we do when we pray, we first inwardly examine ourselves. Then sincerely call upon the Lord with a reverent singleness of heart. That when we go to pray, the first thing we're going to do, first and foremost, is get our heart right with God. We're going to examine ourselves with God. We're going to judge ourselves with God first to get our hearts and our minds right. Then, with the right heart and the right humility and the right service toward God, then we can ask and request and pray to Him and call out to Him and cry out to Him. Then we can do that. I love that. That when I read that, the Hebrew word, the definition, the root meaning is to judge oneself. I mean, my brain exploded. Like, what? And I think it's so applicable because when we talk about prayer today, we just think asking of God stuff. And here's an example. The Jewish people, not every single day, but very, very often, sometimes they would do it every day, they used to pray the Ten Commandments. And if any of you read the Ten Commandments, it's not like, you know, your daily devotional about pray for this, right? Thou shalt not murder. How do you pray that, right? Like, how do you, you know, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not, how do you, when we think of prayer, how do you pray that? And it totally makes sense when we get this understanding of prayer. Because as they would read and pray through the Ten Commandments, they were examining themselves the whole time, right? You shall have no other gods before me. Check in my heart. Do I have any other gods before God? And before I get to anything else in prayer, it's more important that I repent and admit that before I ask anything, right? That's what it meant to pray. And that's a whole different mindset and understanding of prayer. When we pray, we first inwardly examine our hearts. Then we call upon the Lord. I want to wrap up. I have an illustration, and I forgot to bring some. I wish I would have brought some. But how many of you had ever used walkie-talkies when you were a kid? You know, little like, beep, 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 right? All right, you got walkie-talkies. You say there's one over here, one over here. When you have walkie-talkies, they have like 24 channels or 50 channels. It depends on what you have. But they have all these different channels, and each channel has a different frequency, right? Like you have to dial in the frequency so that you can talk. And if this walkie-talkie is on frequency 3, and this walkie-talkie is on frequency 7, you can't talk to one another, right? And if you try to, all you're going to get is static. When you let go of the button, it's going to static. They don't meet up. And so for you to have communication between one another, you have to dial into the same frequency, right? You have to both be on frequency 5, for example. That's the only way you can have proper communication with these walkie-talkies. And what happens is in prayer, you say, you're this walkie-talkie, God is this walkie-talkie over here. Our frequencies have to add up and have to line up with God's. And I think what all this is about in our heart, if the frequency of our heart is not tuned, is not matched up with the heart of God, we have a communication block. And here's the deal about walkie-talkies. Luckily, when you have your human friend, you can both turn the frequencies and you can figure it out together. Here's the deal. God is eternal, holy, never changing. His walkie-talkie is set, okay? So the only way to get that communication is we have to change our heart. We have to tune the frequency of our heart to match His. When you read all of these characteristics, unrepentant, God hates sin. I'm not saying He hates people. He hates sin, and He will not be in the presence of sin. We have to tune our heart. We have to confess that sin to Him, tune our heart to match Him in that. God is forgiving. And if we want God to forgive us, how can we beg and ask God of forgiveness for ourselves when we refuse to offer forgiveness to other people? We have to tune our hearts to match God. We have to tune our hearts in believing. We have to tune our hearts in love. We have to tune our hearts in self-sacrifice. You see, maybe prayer is much less about getting God to respond to us. Maybe prayer is much less about getting God on our frequency, getting God on our wavelength, getting God to listen to us. Maybe prayer is less about that and more about getting us on His wavelength, on His frequency, getting our hearts to respond to Him. Maybe that is what prayer is really all about. Today we covered 4 prayers that God will not answer. And like I said before, my goal is that you would realize God is not a genie in a bottle. He's not some God you rub and you summon and you ask Him for whatever He wants and He just gives you whatever you want. God is not a genie in a bottle. When you talk to God, you are talking to the eternal, almighty, holy, majestic God. And that by knowing this, I pray that we would begin, as the Jews did, examining our hearts. And when you go to pray to God and you have needs that we should ask of God, and we should be persistent, like Jesus said, knocking and seeking, we should be. But in the midst of that, when you're praying for God and when you're calling out and you feel like there's some sort of communication block, you feel like he's not listening, you feel like it's going straight to the ceiling and right back at you and he's not hearing, maybe he's teaching you patience and trust. Maybe there's something wrong with your heart that he wants you to admit and confess and overcome first. Maybe he wants you to forgive someone first. Maybe he wants you to confess a sin first before you worry about ABC. Maybe he wants you to say, hey, God, I messed up this week and I need to admit it to you. Maybe he wants you to see that you truly do believe in him. Maybe he wants you can cry out every day of the week, and maybe he says, listen, that's great, but the way you treat your spouse is disrespectful and it's unaudible to me. And so you can cry out and pray all you want, but until you change your heart and the way you treat them, I'm not listening. You want me to honor your request? Do as I say. I love that passage we started in Zechariah. I spoke to them, they would not listen, therefore I will not listen. I think it's a humble thing to kneel before God the Almighty and to let him examine our hearts. And my challenge, my encouragement today and for the rest of this week is pray, and as you pray, work through these things. Ask God, God, is there some sin that's in my heart that's I haven't repented of, and that's standing between me and you? Is there some person I haven't forgiven, and that's standing between me and you? Do I doubt? Do I not really have faith, and can you teach me how to overcome that and teach me how to actually trust in you? Do I treat my spouse wrong? Do I treat my family wrong, my kids wrong? I mean, are these things? I pray that this week, as you go to pray, you would let the Holy Spirit and let God examine your heart and get it right with God's. Tune your walkie-talkie to his frequency, and then you can have the confidence that Paul was talking about in that verse we read, the confidence to approach God, to speak with him, and to request of him. Let's pray.